Grab your Bible and head over to Acts chapter 4. That's where our Bible reading is this week, in Acts chapter 4. And as Jeff and I have been thinking about this text, it really isn't about Acts 4. It's about Acts 4 and a bunch of other stuff around Acts 4.
The whole story in the early Acts.
Yeah, well, and that's the problem. So much of this is sort of thematically connected to other stuff that's going on. And so the area of focus this time is chapter 4, verses 32 to 37.
Correct. That's why we're here.
But if you want to do some additional Bible reading this week, it would be helpful, I think, to go all the way back to chapter 2 and read there at the end about the picture painted of the early church.
Right.
And then peek into chapter 5 as well, in that first story about Ananias and Sapphira, because that really, that thematic thread, if you want the big picture, you can go from 2 to about half of 5. How about that?
Yeah, that's right. And because really, you know, especially verses 32 to 37 of chapter 4 are really the introduction to the beginning of chapter 5 and the Ananias and Sapphira story. And they really are the foil to, they help highlight what Ananias and Sapphira got wrong. But we came to chapter 4 because this is where it was right.
Yes. And thinking about being zealous for good deeds, we have a really great example here in Barnabas. And so you've chosen Barnabas here because?
Mm-hmm. Well, because here now we have an example of financial good deeds, focused upon his selling land to get the money to help take care of needy saints there, the same needy saints I assume that are probably needing to be fed in chapter 6 as well. Again, really, this story works forward. But you're going to need, if you're going to take care of these needs in the early Jerusalem church, you got to come up with money. And Barnabas had land, sold it to get that money. So now we're talking about somebody whose good deed was, you know, it wasn't even just general giving. It was very specific. Here is a need. I have the ability to meet this need, and so I'm going to sacrifice to meet this need.
Which connects thematically all the way back to chapter 2, where you had the same kind of thing, people selling property and possessions to be able to assist with the needs of the folks in this new church family who were struggling.
Right.
And, you know, in our efforts to broaden our understanding of good works, we can't forget maybe some of the things that we went into this thinking were kind of obvious. Though I almost wonder if we don't devalue the money stuff. You know, this is about, hey, go over and mow that widow's grass. That's a good deed.
Right.
And I think we forget sometimes that throughout the New Testament, in fact, you encounter disciples who are wealthy.
Right.
And who are urged and sometimes do good works using their great excess.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's one of the things, again, other passages in the New Testament when it talks about different, we'll call them abilities God has given people. Mm-hmm. Serve each other with what God has given you. For some of us, that's certain talents and abilities. But for some people, that's either a certain social status or a certain material status. That's what God has given you to use to serve others with. Some of us are, frankly, better at making money than others, just like some of us are better at teaching or at comforting or, you know, just pick whatever more non-tangible aspect you're looking at.
And I'm glad you chose this because I have encountered a few very wealthy disciples in my life, mm-hmm. and almost every single one of them that I've had been able to talk to in some depth and kind of dig into their soul a little bit felt guilty about their wealth.
Yeah, rather than seeing it as this is what God has gifted me with as a steward to use this for kingdom purposes.
Yeah, and what I have tried to share with them is, you need to open yourself to the possibility that God blessed you with this and put this in your hand because he knew of your ability to put it to use and use it for the good of the kingdom.
Right.
And I've known so many wealthy disciples who have been excessive in using their wealth when they see needs. And the thing, I think the reason people don't perceive that is often they very much do it behind the scenes and quietly.
The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Not wanting the credit, not wanting to be noticed, but just wanting to help. So it's sort of an odd thing. They're actually very generous in what they do, the good deeds they do with their money, and yet at the same time guilty that I have this and, you know, it doesn't seem fair I have so much more than others.
Right. No, I think that's exactly right.
So the last thing I think we need to tag on the end of that is, I think whenever we have a conversation about wealthy people, the temptation is to talk about those other people who are wealthy. I don't think any of us think of ourselves as wealthy. And
right, because we can always think of somebody who has more.
And the truth is, I suspect every single person who listens to the podcast from a world perspective would fall into the very highest percentage.
Absolutely.
In terms of wealth of people in the world today.
Yeah, both historically and globally.
And so whatever measure of wealth God has given us, given to us, as we read this story of Barnabas and read it in the broader context, I think we should ponder not who has more than me and what can they do, but I have, what can I do with what God has given me?
Right.
You know, I can, maybe I can't do what the guy with $1 million does, but I can do what I can do with the bucks I have. So ponder that this week as we think about Barnabas.